We are starting a new book of the Bible on Micah, and I was talking with Brother Fish about, you know, I told him I wanted to go start going through another book to study, and we chose Micah. It's a minor prophet, but he might be a minor prophet, but he was mighty, 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 all right? And he was a no-name preacher in the countryside, so he was out in the hills preaching to the people in the hills. He was a countryside preacher, and I want you guys to go to Micah 6:8, and this is going to be a common running. I'm going to use this verse in every single sermon that I preach, and there's a reason for this. So Micah 6:8, and then I'll get into a little bit of background. But Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That is a command that we are to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. Who is Micah? I'm so glad you guys asked who that is. And again, he was a countryside preacher. He would prophesy during the reigns of King Jotham, from 742 to 735 BC, King Ahaz, 735 to 715 BC, and then Hezekiah, 715 to 686 BC. Hey, these kings were allowing all kinds of evil and idol worship happening to God's people. They brought in, King Ahaz was the evil dude, you know, and his wife was Jezebel, okay? She was evil, and she chased Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, to the mountains, Elijah, that's who I meant. She was chasing him all the way, and ran and hid after he had just killed all the prophets of Baal, and you know he ran for his life. But anyway, that's who King Ahaz's wife was. But who is Micah? He was prophesying the whole time through these three kings' rule. Okay, and we know that this is right before Nehemiah. Really, Micah is telling the people, the Israelites, what is about to happen. So Micah was sent to preach about the destruction of Samaria and Judah. How many of you want to have that kind of a sermon? Hey, I got to go tell the people that destruction is coming. Anybody want to go preach that? Oh, you would? I'm telling you, you know, that would not be a fun sermon to be preaching. But Micah's name means who is like Yahweh. The purpose of Micah was to warn God's people that judgment was coming and to offer a pardon for all who repent. Why do we want to look at Micah and think of hope in a hopeless situation? That is the title of today's sermon, and that will be the sermon series title for the duration of Micah. Hope in a hopeless situation. I have been tasked as your pastor to bring hope to this church in a hopeless situation, and I am going to do the very best I can, just like Micah was doing the very best he could. He was a countryside preacher, all right? And he was giving hope in a hopeless situation, all right? And that it all points to Jesus. It all points to the Savior. The last chapter of Micah is wonderful because it prophesies about Jesus coming. All right? So again, I already read Micah 6:8, but it is going to be mentioned in every message, like I said. Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. A church that does not love justice, a church that does not walk humbly with God is a church that is a dying church. Churches that close, I think, lose their way. A church that closes loses their way. They have stopped walking with God. They started doing their own thing. They probably didn't listen to their pastor, and they ran into some problems. Micah was running into some problems. He had to tell the Israelites what the problems were. So let's go to Micah chapter 1, and we're going to read all 16 verses of chapter 1, and then we're going to dive into this a little bit. It says in Micah chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, you peoples, all of you, pay attention, O earth and all that is in it, and let the Lord God be a witness against you. The Lord from his holy temple, for behold, the Lord is coming out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places on the earth, and the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split open like wax before the fire, like waters poured out down a steep place. All of this is for the transgressions of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what is the highest place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap in the open country and a place of planting vineyards. I will pour down her stones into the valley, and I'll uncover her foundations. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces. All her wages shall be burned in fire, and all her idols I will lay waste. And from the fee of a prostitute she gathered them, and to the fee of the prostitute they shall return. For this I will lament and wail. I will go stripped and naked, and I will make lamentation like the jackals in the morning, like the ostriches. For her wound is incurable, and it has come to Judah. It has reached the gate of my people to Jerusalem. Tell it not to Gath. Weep not at all. And it's in your Bible there. Roll yourselves in the dust. Pass on your way. Inhabitants of Shephir in the nakedness and shame, and the inhabitants of Zanan, do not come out. And the lamentation of Bethaziel shall take away from you its standing place. For the inhabitants of Moreth waits anxiously for good, because disaster has come down from the Lord to the gate of Jerusalem. Harness the steel to the chariots, inhabitants of Lachish. It is the beginning of sin to the daughter of Zion. For you were found the transgressions of Israel. Therefore, you shall give parting gifts to the Moresheth Gath. The houses of Ashib shall be a deceitful thing to the kings of Israel. I will again bring a conqueror to you, inhabitants of Moresheth. The glory of Israel shall come to Adullam. Make yourselves bald and cut off your hair, for the children of your delight make yourselves as bald as the eagle, for they shall go from you into exile. After reading this passage, I found out why I'm bald. It's for mourning. I'm bald because God made me that way. And I was like, well, I don't want to be bald like the eagle. I want to have nice hair. I want to have a fro. It is not so, says the Lord. It is not so. Anyway, so there's a lot going on here. And I cannot possibly give you every little detail. What you're going to need to do is you're going to need to get a good commentary, and you're going to need to go study this passage for yourself. I cannot give you every little detail, but I do want to bring out a couple of things that I think would help you and us really together corporately moving forward. All right, so Micah had to go and tell Samaria and Jerusalem, you guys are worshiping idols. You have desolated God's people, and God is really angry. He's coming down, and he's going to destroy everybody. Boy, what a powerful message that he has to give. Hope in a hopeless situation is what he has to do. So far, it sounds pretty hopeless, don't you think? Hey, there's no chance. God's coming down, and we know that the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed, because if you guys remember, we preached through Nehemiah. Thank you. And he had the task of rebuilding the wall, right? He had to pray about going and rebuilding the wall. So we know that God did exactly what he told the Israelites he was going to do. He did allow them to be destroyed. And they were taken over by the Assyrians, all right? And so the Assyrians inherited all the idols of the Israelites, all right? So, and then I wanted you guys to remember, I preached a few weeks ago on Lazarus and how Jesus came to his sisters and wept with them, and then told Lazarus to raise from the dead. And I said that God was our hope in every situation. And the same message applies to the book of Micah. And there is hope in a hopeless situation. I implore you, I beg you, to go read the book of Micah for yourself. Read all 7 chapters this week. All 7 chapters. And then go back and read it again. All 7 chapters. Get a good commentary. And I ask you to get a good cup of coffee or a good hot, cup of hot tea, grab a blanket, whatever you got to do, and sit down and really start hashing this out with the Lord, what it is that Micah was really saying to his people. He was a pastor who had a task. This is our high calling, to represent Christ and act in his behalf and his character and spirit under all circumstances toward all men. That is A.B. Simpson, Days of Heaven Upon Earth. Days of Heaven Upon Earth. Micah had to represent God and act in his behalf and walk in the spirit of the Lord, preaching the destruction of Jerusalem and Samaria. I would not want to be in that man's shoes. But he did it. So here's what I want to point out. My first point. So just like there was sin back in the days of Micah, sin is still here. All we have to do as believers is look around in every corner, turn on the TV, read an article, look at a post on social media, and we can see that sin is still leading cause of death spiritually. Micah was mourning the sins of his people just like Jesus did when he wept in John chapter 11. You see, Micah told the people to shave their heads and go into mourning because of the sins of the Israelites. Jesus wept when he helped raise Lazarus from the dead. Right before he did that, he wept. And it was not because Lazarus was dead, because Jesus was the life giver. He could have just snapped his fingers. He didn't even have to say, "Lazarus, come forth." But he wept because he was brokenhearted over the sins of all people, not just the Israelites. Jesus was getting ready to walk into the death and carry the cross of the sin on his back, right before Lazarus. So that's the leading into that. Micah is telling the Israelites there is a death to the Israelites. There's death to Samaria and Jerusalem. All right? So we know that we can look around, right? And we see sin is rampant everywhere. I cannot believe the state of Ohio just voted into law what they just voted into law. And this is not a political, I'm not up here doing politics, but I'm telling you, I am brokenhearted over the laws that they just passed and it was sinful. It was hateful. It was only caring about self. Sin is rampant. Maybe you're in a spot in your spiritual life where you're stuck. Just like the Israelites were stuck. Maybe you're stuck. Maybe you feel like someone has led you astray. You followed the wrong person. Maybe you listened to somebody who led you down the wrong path. The Bible says that we need to be aware of the false prophets among us. There are false prophets. There are false teachers out there who will give you a feel-good message, who will use a one-line scripture and then tell you something completely opposite of what God's Word says. God's Word says we're to lament over our sins, not glorify them. We are not to stand in a sin and say, "It's good. It's okay. God loves me anyway." God does not want that. And in our spiritual lives, we can come to a point where we're stuck. We're stuck in our sin. You know, pornography. There are people who battle pornography issues for a long time, and they don't come out and they don't share it with anybody because they're ashamed or they're embarrassed or they like it. You know, they don't want to stop, right? And there are many Christians who battle pornography. They're stuck. There are people who are stuck and they're addicted to drugs or alcohol, or they're addicted to clothes shopping, or they're addicted to food, right? They're stuck. They're stuck, and somebody has to come alongside them. They have to be a Micah in their life and say, "Hey, listen, you've got to stop that. You've got to let go of that idol. There's hope in the hopeless situation for you. There is hope in a hopeless situation." Micah was that dude that God chose. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there is hope in a hopeless situation. You're going to hear this for the next several weeks. There is hope in a hopeless situation, because I believe it. I believe it full well that there is hope in a hopeless situation. And I have shared enough of my testimony with you all that you know that I had hope in my hopeless situation. When I was going through 11 foster homes, right? And I wanted a family. I wanted somebody to love me. I didn't understand why I kept getting passed around like a rag doll, right? From home to home. Not wanted, not loved, but there was hope in a hopeless situation. Somebody did care about me, and somebody did love me, and God knew who he had chosen. He chose my parents before I even did. And they chose me. God wants to be the parent of the Israelites, and they were choosing not to follow God. The Israelites were worshiping every other idol but God. And God had to take care of that problem. God had to take care of that problem. And in Evangelism Explosion, we'll hear that God is merciful, and so he loves us. First John 4:8 says God is love, right? But it also says that God is just, therefore must punish sin. Must punish sin. That's what he was doing. He was punishing the Israelites. He was coming down to destroy Israel. But why? Because there was a hope in this situation. All right, so if you're stuck in your spiritual life and you're stuck and you need someone to come alongside you to tell you to get unstuck, please don't hesitate to ask for help. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are here to love one another. Love kindness, right? That's Micah 6:8. Love kindness, do justice, right? And obey the Father. Here is what the Moody commentary says about 1:7b, by the way, in the first chapter here. Believers should realize that any idols in their own lives are most displeasing to God and should rid themselves of them. Fame, food, money, power, sex, and sports are all potential false gods. We need to repent of these idols in our lives. And if you look at what Micah did, he lamented over the sins of his people and wailed loudly. But the great news is there is hope in a hopeless situation. Sometimes when we're stuck in our sins, we have to stop and we have to pray and ask for forgiveness of those sins. And we have to ask God for mercy and ask him that he would not destroy us. God is a God of mercy. He's gracious and he's merciful. He's loving. He's just. Martin Luther, for every morning before he even started his workday in ministry, he got up and he prayed at 4:00 in the morning, and he confessed every sin that he did the day before for hours and hours before he went and did the work of the ministry. That's a lot of dedication. And Micah was saying the same thing to his people. We have to lament and we have to wail over our sins. Wail loudly. All right, so my next point is, we as a church should repent and ask God to pardon our sins. We as a church should repent and ask God to pardon our sins. In verse 9 it says, for whom her wound is incurable and has come to Judah and it has reached the gates of my people to Jerusalem. Micah was the gatekeeper watching out for the wolves that came and was telling his people to mourn the sins, lament over them, and flee. God is not only above the world, but also imminent in it, and he intervenes in history to affect his will. And I got that little piece out of the Expositor's Bible commentary. God is in every situation. I hate this saying, but I went to college, and I heard this saying, and I hate it. The devil's in the details? No. God is in the details. God is in the details. And when it seems like there's a hopeless situation in your life, whether it's through sin, whether it's something that you're battling, you know, some people really struggle during the holidays for various reasons. They may feel alone. They may not have enough money to buy presents for somebody, and that is a depressing thing. That feels like a hopeless situation. But I'm here to tell you as a gatekeeper that there is a hope in that hopeless situation. And that God is a God of love. And that he loves us. And that he wants us to worship him and honor him and glorify him in all we say and do. But church, I have to ask myself this question: why aren't we growing? I go to bed and I don't get to sleep till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning most nights because I'm thinking about the church and I'm thinking about what I can do as a leader to inspire the church. How can I offer hope in a hopeless situation when it seems like finances is the one thing that is destroying the church? We have got to stop looking at the finances. We've got to stop looking at the money. We have got to start looking at the lost souls. And when we start looking and reprioritizing our what it is that we need to do as a church, then I think we'll start growing. We need to start doing more outreach as a church. We did not do one First Friday last month, and last night was the horse parade, and we did nothing. Broke my heart. But I'm not going to sit there and be the only person out there handing out hot chocolate or have another person and only have two people. Now, last year it was really cold, and I get that, you know, people cannot stand outside for 5 hours in freezing weather. And I'm not, but what I had, that's just one example, right? Movie nights. I want to do movie nights. I want to reach the community. There are people who are dying and going to hell every single day, and we need to start focusing on that. We need to quit being inwardly focused. We are so inwardly focused that all we care about is our small church, and we've got to stop that. Because we have the hope in the hopeless situation. We have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We confess that Jesus is our Savior. Then why are we acting like it? I have been given a mission. I have been given direct orders from two people, from God and the district. And I have to do the mission. And I told God I didn't want to do the mission. He said, too bad. You're going to be like Micah. You're going to be the gatekeeper, and you got to keep away the wolves. You got to beat them over the head. The wolves, that is. I want to start using this baptism again. I would like to start seeing lost souls come to Jesus. I want people to repent and get unstuck in their lives. I want to do that through biblical counseling. I have several spots open. I am advertising biblical counseling here. I have several people who are able to help. In biblical counseling, there is hope in a hopeless situation, folks. All right? Discipleship, that is something else we're working on. Brother Aaron is working alongside some men, and he is doing a fantastic job getting wet. Okay? He is immersing himself in discipleship, evangelism, explosion. He's going out and telling people about Christ. And he's giving them hope in a hopeless situation. Church, just like Michael was preaching and watching in the gate, so am I as your pastor, and I have to lead us through what seems like a hopeless situation, offering hope which comes from Christ. I want everybody to turn to 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. I want to read something to you all. And this is my responsibility. This is my responsibility, and it's the elders' responsibility as the head of the church. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2 says, so I exhort the elders among you as fellow elders, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as partaking in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight and not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. I have been charged as an overseer of this flock. I am to give the word of God obediently. I am to teach obediently. I am to correct obediently. I am to love obediently. I am to have show justice obediently. I am to bring glory and honor to God in all I do as a leader of this church. And I have been given a task and a mission. And you guys will figure it out as I lead. Okay? I know what it is, but I'm going to lead you guys the way that I feel like God is leading me. Just like Micah was telling the Israelites and leading them through his situation, all right? But here is what you guys have to do. Go to Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. And this is my charge to you all from God's word. I want everybody to turn there, Hebrews 13, 17. So when you guys are there, put up your thumbs so I know that we're all on the same page here. All right, you can put them down. I got it. All right. Hebrews 13, 17. Are you guys ready? It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So like Micah, who was giving his the people of Israel a task to lament over their sins, he was charged with watching over the souls of all the people of Israel there in the hillside. That's a big task. I have been tasked as an overseer to watch over and care for the flock that is here. And God does not give me anything I cannot handle. I have to walk obediently, but then you have to listen to your pastor and you have to obey what I'm saying. Not because I'm a browbeater, but because I am taking direction from God in the district as I lead this flock. I have a group of elders that I'm working with, and we are talking, and we are asking each other what this means. I'm coming to you at a biblical angle. One day, I'm going to have to give an account for every soul in this church. I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to have to tell him exactly how I led this flock. How many of you want that position? But I love this position. Not because it's power, not because it's anything, it's not glorious, but because I love being a pastor and a counselor. Because I love Jesus and I want people to know Jesus, and I want people who are stuck in their ways, I want people who are believers who are stuck to come unstuck and be able to return to Jesus and start walking in Jesus again. So, my goal as we preach through Micah is to continue to hit on the hope in a hopeless situation. If you are here today and you feel like you're in a hopeless situation now, pray and ask God to forgive you of any sins and idols. Be a regular attender in the gathering of a local church. Have a trusted Christian friend who can guide you in God's word, because there is hope. That's where our hope comes from. I'll say that one more time. Have a trusted Christian friend who can guide you in God's word, because that is where our hope comes from. Our hope comes from the word of God. And it's accurate. It's 1,000% true and infallible. There is no discretion in God's word. And you can go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and you can read that for yourself. And no prophecy was ever given without the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's in 2 Peter. You can go to those scriptures and you can read them for yourself. I implore you to start picking up your word and reading it. That's where our hope comes from. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope in the hopeless situation. In our life, when it feels like there's just everything is just coming around us. I mean, I had a hopeless situation last week. I mean, Sarah went back to work, and then we lost a dog all in the same week. And it was $1,000 to try to save that dog. That was a hopeless situation. But I was relying on God to get me through that situation. Have a trusted Christian friend, folks. And I would like for us to start fellowshipping outside the walls of this church. There are 7 days a week. There are 7 days a week. And I ask you that you would make a phone call to somebody you don't normally call. So if you have a friend in the church, don't call that person this week. Call somebody else. Start fellowshipping. Start opening up your home. Start going into the coffee pot or Bob Evans or whatever. Go to the park. I know people who go to the park and go fishing. Invite them out and have a conversation with them. All right? And hope that they catch a fish. I won't. That's fine. I'm just like I'm bald. Just like I'm bald, I also know I don't catch fish. But I am a fisher of men. All right? I am a fisher of men. Folks, I hope that you are walking away feeling like there is hope in a hopeless situation, and that you are to get rid of any idols and any sins in your life that have you stuck. You lament over them. You pray for them. You ask for forgiveness of them, and that you know that Jesus is your hope in the hopeless situation. All right, and if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, come talk to me, come talk to Fish, come talk to Gary. We would love to share with you how to come to know Jesus. Or you can even go to Brother Aaron, and he would be more than happy to walk you into, you know, what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. We are here, we are to be trusted Christian friends for one another. That is the goal of church, is to be trusted Christian friends and to call one another, not just on Sundays and not just on Wednesdays, but every day we should be reaching out and asking how people are doing. I have an idea of how I can encourage people. So at our gym, they do postcards, and they give out postcards, and they send out postcards, and it's got a picture of the gym and a postcard. What I'm going to do is I'm going to order a bunch of postcards, and you guys can write encouraging messages throughout the week, and they get sent every week to encourage people. Maybe you know somebody who's stuck in their own spiritual life, and you could be a Micah in their situation, giving them the hope in a hopeless situation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, and we thank you so much for the Word of God, and we thank you that we know that you are the God of hope and that there is hope in the hopeless situation. Father, you gave us your Word so that we could study it, so that we can meditate on it, so we can chew on it, and we can digest what it says and be able to know that you are in the details, that you are in every detail. And Father, we know that people who are struggling, and we know that people are lost and going to hell, but Father, you are the Savior of the world. You sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world, and we as CMA Church want to be a beacon of hope to those people. Father, help us to walk in obedience, loving justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly in your footsteps, Father God. We thank you again so much for all you've done for us. I pray that anybody who here is feeling like there's they're in a hopeless situation, that there is hope in every situation. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We do have one more song, if you all would stand and sing with us. And I'll be up here at the front if anybody wants to come and share with me anything or pray with me. And if we have a long line.
Like a fetter, bind my wandering heart here.